Czechcast, a podcast in English about Czech and Moravian society, history, culture and economy.
Thank you for listening to Czechcast. I'm Vít Pohanka, the host, and today I have the first part of the story, or rather stories, of several amazing Czech women who help Czech communities abroad keep their language and cultural heritage alive. Klára Moldová has been teaching at the T.G. Masaryk Czech School in Cicero, a suburb of Chicago, for more than a decade.
We are raising a new Czech community that is not going to represent only the Czech Republic in Chicago, but that might return to the Czech Republic or that might expand its expertise. And we are very excited to see where that is going to go.
Czech schools abroad rely on many volunteers who may not have an educational background, but are eager to help. Barbora Miklasová lives in London.
During the pandemic, I was looking at my life and thought, well, actually, I could do something for society.
But before I get to the interviews, let me give you a bit of a historical context. Like many other nationalities and ethnicities around the world, Czechs have often been motivated to seek better life and economic opportunities outside of their home country. Especially in the 19th century, with the Industrial Revolution in full swing, they would travel and settle in various countries across Europe and beyond. Later in the 20th century, the main reason for Czechs leaving their homeland was political. First fleeing the Nazis, later the communist regime.
From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent.
In the third decade of the 21st century, there are Czech communities mainly in the industrialized world. Many of them try to maintain their affinity with their home country, its language, culture and history. The Czech Ministry of Education is legally obliged to help them. Now, as I'm recording this Czechcast at the end of 2023, the ministry officially recognizes 15 schools as providers of elementary education in the Czech language. If they meet certain criteria, they receive accreditation and some financial support. Although this doesn't cover all expenses, the subsidy greatly helps keep these schools open and operating in cities across 8 countries, namely Austria, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, the United Kingdom and the United States. Czechcast is in English. So I got in touch with some of the Czech schools in English-speaking countries. I asked about what they do with their pupils and adult students and why they think it's worth the effort. First, I connected with the Masaryk School in Cicero, a suburb of Chicago with a traditionally strong Czech presence. And here is the story of a Czech woman who made keeping it alive her mission.
My name is Klára Moldová and I have lived in Chicago for 11 years. I moved here in 2012. I just graduated from college and I was getting ready for my first job. And while I read about an interview being done for a position of a teacher at a compatriot community in Chicago, and the description of the position looked like something I would enjoy, and it came at a good moment of my life where I was deciding about my future career and about my future steps. And so I applied, and in a few months I packed my suitcase and visited the United States for the first time. I became a teacher at the T.G. Masaryk Czech School, which is in western suburbs of Chicago. And soon after, I also became the vice president of the same institution. And those two positions are something that I have been doing ever since.
Let me just ask you, are you from Prague or where are you from in Czechia?
I am from Trutnov, which is a small town in northern Bohemia.
Just under the Krkonoše Mountains. Mm-hmm. And you said you were just finishing the studies when you learned about this position in Chicago. What were you studying? Teacher Trainers College? Pajdák, as we call it in Czech, or? what?
No, I graduated from Charles University, the Faculty of Arts, and I did Czech language and literature. And at the same time, I studied the Prague Conservatory, where I did, where I played the violin.
We will get to music a little later on, but tell me, how hard was it? What kind of competition did you face when you applied for this job in Chicago?
I was quite lucky because with me applying for the Chicago position, it was the very first time the position was open. So they just looked for a teacher for the very first time. And the school building wasn't at the best shape at that time. The school board wasn't well set up. So it was an open position where I think the hardest thing wasn't really teaching the language and literature, but it was really finding the job tasks that I'm going to do, finding out what the community needs and trying to fulfill that rather than following the job description.
No, I was just going to ask you, so was it more kind of a job about organization, you know, where to teach and how to get the people together, more than just about the job of teaching Czech?
In our case, the job was first about putting the school building in order. The school building was old and neglected for many years, so we had to start with fundraising and repairing of the school bathrooms, school roof, and things like that. It was also about dividing the students into categories because the children basically were meeting in one classroom no matter what level and what age. So we started developing a little curriculum for ourselves. And then, of course, added the cultural aspect. So we started inviting guest speakers that are local here in the United States, but then also guests from the Czech Republic, from various fields of the arts.
To put our dialogue into a context, what kind of part of Chicago Cicero is, and what is the tradition of the Czech community? If you could give us a little bit of a feeling of historic roots of the Czech community in Chicago.
There were times where Chicago was the third biggest Czech city in the world. So the history of the Czech community is very rich, and we could go neighborhood from neighborhood. It's Pilsen, Česká, California, as they say, Cicero, Berwyn. All the neighborhoods were founded by Czechs or later taken over by the Czech community, and they had a rich history of Czech churches, Czech schools, Czech stores. But that would also, of course, changed over times. So right now, our school is located in Cicero, Illinois. I think we are the last standing school building, original Czech school building in the United States. There used to be a huge Czech restaurant, a class restaurant, genealogical society, but currently we are really the last island of Czech culture in Cicero.
You know, last time I was in Chicago and spoke to some people in the Czech community, it was in 2013, which is 10 and a half years ago. How lively is the Czech community now? Is it growing, or is it perhaps on the contrary, getting smaller?
I think COVID changed many things for us. So prior to the pandemic, the school would serve as a meeting point for organizations and for our students who lived in the proximity of the school. But during the pandemic, we started offering online classes. Currently, we have a full-time teacher who teaches Czech to both children and adults. And adults can choose between in-person and online classes. So in our case, thanks to the pandemic, and I really have to say thanks to the pandemic, we are offering what we do to broader community, not only in the Chicago area, but nationwide. And in terms of getting the community together, the school still works as a small cultural center for the Czechoslovak Heritage Museum for storing their equipment and items. It also works for the parents as a meeting point. So we still are fulfilling the mission of a center for Czechs living abroad.
After a very quick search on Google, I found out that the Lyric Opera in Chicago is staging Jenufa, this opera by Leoš Janáček, the great Czech Moravian composer. And as I understand, you were helping with the production. Is that right? And if so, how?
I was approached by the Lyric Opera of Chicago to become the diction coach of this production of Yenufa. So we just finished the rehearsing process. The show opened 2 weeks ago. There are 5 performances being offered. And this is the third time that Yenufa came back to Chicago. And this production is conducted by Maestro Jakub Hruša. There is a Czech singer, a lead Czech singer, tenor Pavel Černoch. So the Czech cast plays a substantial role in this production.
How easy or difficult was that job?
It varies from singer to singer. Some of the cast had a long time to prepare for their roles, so we had enough of sessions to speak it, sing it, go over it in person and online. Some of the singers got in town the very last minute, just when the rehearsing process would start. So that was, of course, a little bit more complicated to deliver linguistic notes while they're receiving notes from the conductor or from the staging management. So the big parts were of course, very difficult to absorb. But the outcome, if I may say, was very well received, and it's being said that the Czech is understandable, which makes us very happy.
Why is it important, you think, that the Czech in a piece like Yenufa is correct when the audiences in Chicago, I suppose, are not going to be Czech?
I think Chicago is being called the melting pot and takes pride in trying to respect all the communities, and Janáček is the most performed opera composer in the world. And of course, the way he composes music was very much influenced by the Czech language. So it's called the napěvky mluvy. He would listen to people talk and he would write down the intonation of their speech and then mimic it in the operatic parts. So leaving the language out of it or singing it in a translation would take away from the actual meaning or from the actual sense of the music. So I think, of course, the opera is being performed with supertitles, so everyone who understands English can read what the Czech means. But it's very important that the language stays in its original form, because it's not only about the language, but about the mix of both the music and the language.
As a matter of fact, I was recording an interview about Leoš Janáček and his life just a few days ago in Brno. It is really amazing that Janáček is, as you mentioned, I mean, he's probably one of the top 10 opera composers. I'm just wondering, in the 21st century in Chicago, who goes to listen and see an opera like Yenufa? It is not for everyone, is it?
It's definitely not for everyone, but I think the production that the Lyric Opera of Chicago used was wonderful. They rented a production from the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden in London. So it's a minimalistic production where I would say you don't get distracted by any decorations and by any side stories happening on the stage. It's very raw and very black and white. And I think although the story or although the opera is old, the story kind of resembles until today. So freedom of women, freedom of choice, abortion laws. I think the story can be upgraded to today's times and serve as a study book for where the society has made it over times or hasn't made it over times.
So if I understand correctly, what you are saying is it's got something to tell people even today.
Yes. So I think the story, although being written so many years ago, still resembles until today and is describing often life of women around us today.
We've mentioned Leoš Janáček, but of course Antonín Dvořák also came to Chicago in the 1890s when he was actually, I think he was the first director of the New York American Conservatory of Music, but he did travel, and he did visit Chicago as well, didn't he?
He did visit Chicago. He, as far as I know, conducted a concert at the Czechoslovak Society of America building in the Pilsen neighborhood. The building is still standing. There is a Dvořák Park in Pilsen named after Antonín Dvořák. So the Dvořák's footsteps are noticeable in Chicago as well.
So the Czechs and the Czech community are still very much alive in Chicago, if I understand correctly. I mean, do you see future in the development of the Czech community in Chicago? Obviously, you live there now. You call it your home, don't you?
Yeah, Chicago is my home now. I think the Masaryk School started it all. And one of the things I think we have accomplished over the years is that we educated Czech children. And what we can do now, we can actually see the future of the children that we started teaching 10 years ago, because they're becoming adults now. And we see stories of our past children who are Czechs of a second generation already living their Czech heritage. So we have students who, through the Czech government, apply for language courses and travel to the Czech Republic, to Dobruška, to attend and to take classes. We have a student who moved to the Czech Republic and who studies university there. So we have a class that just took the seal of biliteracy test and they all succeeded. So we have students with a certificate that claims that they are bilingual, that they can speak both English and Czech. So I think we are raising a new Czech community that is not going to represent only the Czech Republic in Chicago, but that might return to the Czech Republic or that might expand its expertise. And we are very excited to see where that is going to go.
You know, Clara, this may sound as a kind of silly question to you with an obvious answer, but I will still ask. Why is it important to keep the Czech community, and especially kids, being interested in Czech culture, speaking Czech, if they live in Chicago and other places in the United States?
I think with today's ability to travel and to get to meet people with a similar story of yours, following social media, following videos in the Czech language, it is about translating the story into a popular form. So I see the Masaryk School being a little dictionary or being a little helper in terms of translating or serving the parts of being Czech and explaining them in a way so that the children are proud of it and so that they can use it even if they stay living in the United States. So we focus not only on teaching our children the history of the Czech Republic, but we try to do projects with big Czechs that live in the United States and that many people, not only Czech-speaking people, know. I think it's not necessarily only about the language, but it's very important to know that your heritage, that you're not alone with your heritage and that there are similar people to you who like similar things, celebrate similar special days and customs and speak similar difficult language. And I don't think the need to get together and be together in the Czech environment is as big as it used to be when traveling wasn't as easy as it is today. But I still feel that knowing the history of your nation or even knowing something more about your parents, oftentimes our children don't speak Czech that well, but they still communicate in Czech with their parents. And so learning about their parents' roots, about their own heritage, brings them closer and explains, maybe not right now in teenage years, but later, about where they come from and what does it mean.
Judging from your posts on your Facebook, I mean, you started a family in Chicago, really, right? I mean, what is the story of your family?
I got married in 2010 in the Czech Republic while studying college. And then I moved to Chicago in 2012. And my husband followed along a year later. We started a family in 2018. We had first son named Tomáš. He is 5 years old now. And then we have a daughter who is just turning 3 years old, and her name is Meda.
Are you planning to keep them bilingual? Because the kind of pressure from the American side, American culture, American media from all sides, is that something that you were talking about, perhaps?
I think the reason why we live in the United States is really the passion for the Masaryk school that mm-hmm. I have. And so being bilingual and keeping the Czech language at home is something that I'm not even thinking about. That's something that I plan on doing, and I'm hoping that everybody's going to follow along.
What are your plans then? I mean, are you passionate about the Masaryk school? Do you see yourself staying there, or are you thinking perhaps of coming back to Czech as well?
I must say I was never really good in planning. I'm more of a here and now person. And I think I still see the Masaryk school as an institution that needs me and that fulfills me. And as long as it goes like that, and as long as people enjoy what we do, I would love to be working here. But I can imagine that with maybe the community members going down, or with the migration waves stopping, it will be more and more difficult to find programs for the school. But currently, I just think we're at the right place at the right moment, and we'll see what the future brings.
You are listening to Czechcast with women educators working to keep Czech language, culture and history alive in English-speaking countries. After chatting with Klára Moldová in Chicago, I got in touch with the Czech School Without Borders in London, Great Britain. Zuzana Jungmanová is the founder, director and senior teacher.
I left Czech Republic with my hot certificate from my university and spent 3 years in Paris, actually. And everything started in Paris because I met Lucie Slavíková-Boucher there in the Czech center. And we started our lovely relationship. And I've in the middle of the discussion what to do with this project, and it's starting to developing. And since it's what's happened next, my partner won some important artist award in National Portrait Gallery, and we moved to London, straight away from Paris to London. And I was really thinking that time what to do, because I started a project in Paris, and traveling between Paris and London, it wasn't good idea. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I started something similar here in London. And that's the point, the hot point, actually, with this project, Czech School Without the Borders in London, and lots of things.
That's amazing. I actually spent 3 years in Paris myself in the 1990s. I worked for UNESCO as an international civil servant. And it seemed to me then, and I just wonder whether it's still the case, that the Czech community in London was more numerous, it seems to me. Is that the right impression, you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. And also for me, it was an amazing thing that happened, because it was the gap for Czech education that time in London, proper education in Czech language. I think Czech Culture Center organized some lessons for adults, but definitely not for children. That's why I started to communicate with them and say, hey guys, we need to do something with new generation, not just with adults. And I opened the tiny club called Kids Art Club, and we organize a lovely session in the museums, because London is mecca for museums. But what happened quite immediately, we've got a lot of kids, and to be in the museum with group with 50, 60 kids together is starting to be a little bit tricky. And since that time, we opened the company by guarantee first, and afterwards, the charity.
Okay, Zuzana, thank you for the moment. Bára, how did you get to London? What brought you there?
So I came for a six-month internship right after my graduation in 2018.
Barbara Miklasová Obára is a volunteer and the assistant director.
I found out about Czech school. They were looking for volunteers at the time. And I thought, well, you know, I don't have much to do on my weekends, so I might as well do some volunteering because I've always enjoyed working with children. And that's how I got to the school.
So this is not your main job, right?
It's not my main job. I don't think it's anyone's main job apart from Zuzka's, really, because we only operate on the Saturday. So it doesn't really warrant a full-time job.
And I'm sorry, so what's your job? What do you do?
My background is in microbiology, actually, and I worked in scientific publishing for those 3 years. And then during the pandemic, I was looking at my life and thought, well, actually, I could do something for society. I mean, science is also great for society. Don't get me wrong. But I requalified as a teacher, and I'm now a primary school teacher.
You know, as a parent, and actually as a graduated teacher myself, long, long time ago, I haven't taught for a long, long time, I was always interested and even fascinated by what it's like to bring up children in bilingual and bicultural or multicultural kind of context or society. And I just wonder, to what extent do you feel the pressure of the English culture? I mean, London is very multicultural, but everybody speaks English. How easy or difficult is it to teach children Czech language in such a surroundings, you know? Because children are like little sponges, in my experience. They tend to kind of suck what they see around themselves.
You mentioned the London is quite special city. I think it's the same with the Prague as well, you know. It's a very multicultural cities and very open for, you know, new influences. And the bilingual education, it's part of that. Here in London, it's more alive because London is huge. And of course, the multicultural is huge, you know. And our tiny Czech community, it's part of it. We are just part of it. We are not extra, you know, it's not the extra thing happened. We are part of this lovely bilingual communities, which I'm back on your question. If you are part of it, something, it's quite easy to, you know, implement our curriculum, our ideas, everything like that in this kind of the hub. Compared to Prague, maybe, I don't know, you know, how it works in Prague with the bilingual communities, I don't know. But here in London, it's just the lifestyle. It's part of our lifestyle. And kids, for kids, it's nothing special to listen kids speak 2, 3, 4 languages at home, because all relatives using different languages. And it's for me, this is the point when I decided to do this work. Because for me, it's the miracle. I love it because it's something very special.
Okay, Bára, would you like to add something to that?
Well, I don't have children of my own, so I don't see if it's, you know, easy or difficult for me personally to deal with the bilingual bringing up at home. But I would say at school, what we see is that it really differs from family to family, depending on whether both the parents are from the Czech Republic or if it's a mixed couple. And if they speak Czech at home with both the parents, if it's just the household language, let's say, or whether it's really just I speak Czech with my mom and in summer with my grandma.
It's quite key, Bára. If the both parents know all languages, it's much more nature for kids and for their languages to developing naturally. This is quite a big point, yeah.
I will ask you both a question, and you might think it's kind of provocative, but why do you think it's important to keep the kind of language identity for the kids, if it is important? I don't know, maybe it's not, but obviously you are both engaged very much in the Czech school, in Islington, obviously. Why is it important for the kids to speak Czech if they grow up in London?
Yeah, I'm asking that myself sometimes when I'm at school and they just, you know, it's difficult for them having a 6 day and speaking Czech when they normally speak with their friends in English. But I think Czech Republic has a lot to offer, even though it seems like a small country somewhere in Europe to people who might be, you know, growing up here. There's also lots of relationships and historical kind of context for Czech Republic and England, like the RAF fighters.
Here just a little note or explanation for those listeners who may not be familiar with this chapter of shared British and Czech history.
The Czech Squadron. From the time the Nazis marched into Prague after breaking the Munich Pact, thousands of young men from Czechoslovakia have left their country to join battle against the common oppressor of small nations.
During World War II, many thousands of Czechs made their way to Britain and fought against Nazi Germany. Czech airmen who joined the Royal Air Force, or RAF, proved to be unrelenting and decisive fighters. But the fate of many of them was sad, if not tragic, after the war. When they returned to Czechoslovakia, the communists, who took over total power in the coup d'etat of 1948, viewed them with outright hostility. Many of them were arrested and sent into Stalinist concentration camps if they didn't emigrate back to Britain in time. Obviously, their generation largely passed away, but there is still a community of their ancestors. Under the project Children of Heroes that Barbara and Zuzana mention, the Czech embassy in London interviews them and tries to pass on the moving stories of their families.
That's probably why there is such a big community as well, because lots of people came to exile here, and I think the relationships are really good and the countries are important for each other. And I think it's good to be, to understand for the children, you know, for the children to understand that they are part of this and that they are part of sort of both sides of the relationships and what is it that Czech Republic has as well, if that makes sense.
Baro, beautiful.
If I may ask you as well, I mean, if you can say something to that, if you feel like it, I mean.
I don't know what to say. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because I have to just mention contemporary project with RAF pilots. Actually, we have lovely connection with embassy in London, and they make amazing project, Children of Heroes. They make lovely interviewed with children of our pilots, of our heroes, and we develop another part of this project. With a student from Czech Republic, actually. It's so touching. I know it's the past, it's history, but it's still very much alive here in our community. And I'm almost crying. Yeah, it's very touching. This is the reason why I'm do this hard job, because it's some high quality of our results or our feelings in the end of the projects, in the end of the half term, you know, it's very hard, very responsibility job, but I love it because this richness that I always, you know, find inside, and this is quite important for me.
Zuzana Jungmanová, the founder, director and senior teacher at Czech School Without Borders in Islington, London. You also heard Barbara Miklasová, assistant director and volunteer. In the next episode, I will talk to Iva Zels. She moved to Calgary in the Canadian West some years ago. When her daughters were going to start their primary education, she was afraid that they could lose their Czech language. So she decided to do something about it, and she reopened a Czech school that had been closed for decades.
So by the time the girls went to grade one, we started the first year in the Czech school. I think it was in 2015. And we've got now the ninth school year of the Czech school in Calgary.
And Iva's administrative secretary, Andrea Navarro-Želiasková, is proud of how the school has grown in less than 10 years.
So this school year, 2023-2024, we are having 55 students, which is, in my opinion, a huge number, right? If you imagine Czech kids, students, adults studying abroad, beautiful Czech language.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Czechast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, I'm here with new stories and insights every week, bringing you closer to the fascinating world of Czech culture, history and people. If you've enjoyed today's episode, If you've enjoyed today's episode, please don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe. Your support means the world to me, and it helps me keep bringing you more of the content you like. Stay connected, stay curious, and I look forward to sharing another exciting episode with you next week. Until then, this is Vít Pohanka signing off from Czechast for Radio Prague International. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep enjoying. Naslyšenou.
Czechast, a podcast in English about all things Czech. Whether you're an English-speaking expat living in Czechia and Slovakia, or a descendant of the Czechs, Moravians and Slovaks who left for a better life in America, Australia, Britain or Canada so long ago that you don't speak the language of the old country, this podcast in English is for you.